If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn with me to the New Testament book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. And hang on to that there for a moment. In 1995, I had the opportunity to go on a work trip to California, Casa Robles, California. And it was there, it was a retirement facility for the Church of the Nazarene. And while we worked there doing some various things and helping out and so on, I was able to meet a missionary wife. Her name was Mrs. Lyle Prescott. And she told me the story about her husband. Now, he had been an excellent piano player, pianist. In fact, there were those who said that he could have gone on to become a concert pianist, someone who would be able to play for crowds and become well-known and minister to the church to encourage people and provide that kind of ministry. But the Lord called him to be a missionary. Would he be willing to give up that possibility and dream of becoming a concert pianist and ministering in that regard to become a missionary? Now, maybe we don't have to come to such dramatic places in life at that kind of decision, but you know, we face the same kind of thing. Whether we are willing to do God's will for our life or whether we want to do our own thing. Well, I'm sure you've guessed by now, of course, that he made the right decision and he decided to become a missionary. And they went then to Cuba. Say, Cuba? Yes, now that was before the takeover by the communists, and they served in Cuba. And while they were there during that time, actually they were present for that. They had to go to the Caribbean for part of the time during the revolution and so on, then were able to get back to Cuba. But he was on a beach, a coral reef in Cuba. He slipped, fell, and drowned. Young man. A great leader for Christ whose life ended prematurely. And that doesn't seem to make sense to us. But it can only make sense to us when we realize that there had been an earlier death in his life. When he was under that pressure to move in the direction of being a pianist and all that kind of thing, and the Lord called him to missions, it didn't make sense to him at first, but there had to be a death to self. And he chose to give up his dreams, consecrate his life to Christ, and follow the Lord's call. He was crucified to himself. Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Five truths from this passage I'd like to share with you this morning. The first one is this: we need to be crucified with Christ. Now, we recognize here that we're not talking about a literal crucifixion hanging on a cross and the nails slammed into our wrists and into our feet. What we're talking about here is a willingness to die to self. And that's what Paul was saying when he said, I have been crucified with Christ. The issue was not that he was hung on a cross. The issue was that he had died to himself, to his own plans, his own dreams, his own things that he wanted to do, and was now living for Jesus Christ. Now, one of the interesting things about this word, can't really tell it in English, but you can in the original language. This is a word that wraps us into it. The crucified with Christ. The with and the crucifixion are together. It's all one part of the same concept. In other words, this joins us to Jesus. It's a part of being what it means to be in Christ. Now, this is in contrast to the law and grace, the contrast of law and grace and living by the law, but we live by grace through faith. Now, we were under the law. The law, the scripture says, brought us to Christ, helping us to recognize that we had a need and how important that is today. For without law, we don't realize we're lawbreakers. But with the law, we recognize that we are, and we cannot solve the problem ourselves. And so we come to Christ. You cannot find justification under the law because we cannot keep the law. Instead, through faith, we come to Christ and find the grace of sins forgiven and our lives transformed through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. His death allows us to die to the law and to die to ourselves. But that's not the only truth that is here. Not only are we crucified with Christ, but we are alive with Jesus, as the Apostle Paul says, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Some time ago, I was in a meeting of funeral directors. This was in a different state. And I don't remember how they got on the topic, but they were answering this question. So after a person dies, who owns the body? And so being curious, I thought, well, I'd just get on Google and ask it then. Back then there wasn't Google, but I ask it today. So I was checking on Google here this week. Who owns the body after somebody dies? Well, that's an interesting discussion. Apparently, nobody owns the body because nobody can own a person. However, the right to decide and the right to run or manage belongs to the next of kin. Some people would think it was a state, but that's not the case. So after a person dies, the next of kin then becomes responsible for the funeral and for making those arrangements and that kind of thing. So even if the person who was deceased had made arrangements or whatever they wanted in their funeral and so on, the next of kin can actually change that. They have the right to do that, the right to control things. You say, well, why in the world are you bringing up this depressing topic right here in this message? Because when we've died to self and given ourselves to Jesus, the next of kin has the right to run our life. That's Jesus. When we've turned ourselves over to Christ, then it is no longer us who call the shots in our life. It is now Jesus who decides for us because we have died to ourselves. You see that? We're no longer running things. It is now Jesus who has control of how we live in our lives now. That's what he says. When crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so he's the one who's going to direct us and so on. This is just kind of an aside. I'm just sticking this in here. And this is, I saw this acted out in one situation where there was somebody who died and they were out west and they needed to bring the body back. And so the next of kin brought the body back in their station wagon. That's not usually how it happens, but apparently they have the right to do that. And so they did. Well, we may not always understand how the Lord directs us. But because we've died to ourselves, we'll serve Him according to His direction. So the life that we now live, we live in Jesus through faith. We are alive with Jesus. Well, I'm thankful that we have this good truth that we are loved by Christ as well. Notice that. Who loved me? Well, thank the Lord and gave Himself for me. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus is not the enemy. Not at all. He's not trying to destroy your life. Sin is the enemy, and the devil is trying to destroy your life. The power of sin has so many people caught and entrapped, and they are on their way to hell. It is Jesus who gave His life for us that we might be free. He gave Himself for you. The word means to give alongside of. You say, well, that's nice to know. No, here's what it means. Jesus does not want to have a distant relationship with you. Isn't that cool? He wants to have a close one. It's not the idea, well, we just come to Christ and we accept Jesus, our personal Savior, and then He's off there doing His thing, and I'm, you know, doing my thing and whatever, and then we'll meet someday in the sky in the rapture or in heaven. That's not the right picture. Jesus wants to be a part of your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and He's walking alongside, He's given alongside of you. He loves you, and He wants the best for your life. Now, Satan's going to tell you the opposite. Satan is going to lie and deceive and try to get you to doubt the Lord and that kind of thing. And so, by faith, we accept the fact that He is who He is. And that He loves us. It is by faith that we walk with Jesus now, having crucified ourselves with Him. A death to self because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That He has what is best for us. And so it is a life of faith in Him. Oh, by the way, we're also going forward in Christ. The next verse that I included with that, sometimes we don't, he says, I do not set aside the grace of God. Now, King James translates it as frustrate. I do not frustrate the grace of God. What's meant by this? It means we must die to ourselves and the control of our lives, live for Jesus so that His gifts are accomplished and we don't go back to owning ourselves. We leave it that way. If we go backwards, we frustrate God's grace. We're going forward in Christ. I like what C.S. Lewis said, one of his writings. He said, God does not call us to be better than all the good people in the world. He calls us to be better than we were last year. We're going forward in the faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're following His directions and His leadership. So we must maintain our consecration to God. We must maintain that attitude that we have died to ourselves, alive to Christ. That consecration must be maintained. It needs to stay all for Jesus. Yes, there has to come a time where we die to ourselves and become alive to Christ. But, you know, life brings changes. And as life brings changes, there are things that come along that will have to be added to that consecration. I remember years ago, got our first computer. Now, those are neat things, aren't they? They'll nod your head. They are, you know, kind of fascinating and all that kind of stuff. But I remember the time when the Lord asked me, whose computer is that? Now you see, when I had first consecrated my life to Christ, when I had died to myself out in a cornfield in Iowa and given myself entirely to Him to allow Him to direct my life and tell me what to do, and He changed the direction and my plans, and that was all a wonderful thing, but you know what? There was no computer in my life at that time. It got added later. And there had to come a point where the Lord said, "Whose computer is that?" I remember actually going to my office, laying hands on that big old box. You remember when they were, you know, those big old things? And laying my hands on that and giving it to the Lord and putting it under His control. Our consecration must be maintained, must be kept up to date. We're not stuck in the past. We are going forward in Christ as we live going forward. Then He directs our lives, and some things are absolutely amazing. I've been reading an interesting book over the break, or Christmas, and when I get a chance. And in the book it tells the story about missionaries, Jimmy and Alice Koval, missionaries to Japan prior to World War I. They were in Japan when the war machine took over and all of that tension came out, and they decided that they probably, as they were Americans, they needed to leave Japan, and they went to the Philippines. And so he was teaching Bible, and so went to a Bible college in the Philippines and started teaching there. They sent their daughter, Peggy, to school, go to college back in the United States. And so she was in the United States at Pearl Harbor. Anyway, things went south, as you know, and they were forced to leave the Bible college and go hide up in the mountains. And they built a little village, not very big, of course, it was just a handful of people surviving up there, hiding from the Japanese. And they were people who had been teaching at the Bible college, including Jimmy and his wife Alice, their other two children. Well, the long story short is, the Japanese found them and killed them. Peggy lost both of her parents to the Japanese. Peggy loved Jesus. And God called her to go serve at Bushell Military Hospital. It was at that hospital that the Japanese POWs were treated. The ones who had lost an arm or a leg or that kind of thing. It was right next to the prison camp. And she went there to take care of Japanese soldiers. You know, the world doesn't understand that. Japanese soldiers killed her parents. But God called her to die to herself and serve Japanese soldiers. We don't always understand that. We don't understand necessarily why it works. One of the amazing parts of the book that I'm reading, which is primarily about the fella who led the raid on Pearl Harbor. He was the commander of all of the aircraft that attacked Pearl Harbor. He moved up in the military in Japan. At the end of the war, he was supremely disappointed and discouraged and confused. The emperor, you know, was supposed to be God, and the whole thing was just threw him for a loop. He unfortunately had to go to the trials where they were accusing various people of torturing American POWs and so on. And his attitude toward it was, "It's not fair. The Americans do the same thing." And he was bitter and angry at these who had come in to take over the nation. He was absolutely convinced that his fellow soldiers who were prisoners of the Americans would have undergone the same kinds of torture that the Japanese did to American soldiers. He was there when one of the ships came back with Japanese prisoners of war. And they were getting off the ship, and he recognized one of his engineers who had flown with him earlier on. He thought he had died, but there he was in the flesh. And so they greeted each other, and he took him out to eat, and so then he started asking him about the torture. Well, he wasn't tortured. I said, well, what did they do to you? Well, they fed us and took care of us. And then began to tell him about a nurse at the hospital that he was at who had a supreme interest in Japanese. Besides, she was fluent in Japanese. She could speak to them, but she went out of her way to help them and to try to make them comfortable and try to provide assistance and so on. This guy was absolutely flabbergasted that Americans would do that, and even more so when he found out. This lady Peggy, her parents had been killed by Japanese soldiers. What makes a person whose parents have been killed not succumb to bitterness and anger, but instead turn around and serve? Well, there's only one thing, and that's Jesus. Was a part of the process that led him to Christ. And then he became an evangelist telling others about Jesus. We have to die to ourselves and live to Christ. As I close, I want to share with you a poem. This is a poem that's written by Lyle Prescott, a missionary to Cuba. My life is a piano, the musician art thou, O God. May the keys be responsive to thy touch, to thy nod. My inmost being is a sounding board harp. May the strings be in tune, not too flat, not too sharp. My patience is pedals where the soul is controlled. When the pressure is heavy, may they hold, may they hold. My Christian experience is the action that tells whether God can play grandly or mediocre or not well. Thus, I am the instrument, thou, the player divine. Lord, take this console, make it worthy, make it thine. Make it play sweetly at thy faintest caress, whenever thy fingers my ebonies stroke, my ivories press. May it swell with crescendos of richness and power. Let it glow with thy beauty every performance, every hour. Let the sweep of arpeggios sing the glory above. Let thy music vibrate through harmonies rich, through lyrics of love. O my master, 'tis heaven to play for thee. Keep me tuned every day. Keep me sweet. Keep me in key. Someday, I shall join in symphonic amen with heaven's redeemed. Keep me practicing. Keep me playing. Till then. Will you stand with me? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we've gathered in the Lord's presence. We've been reminded how important it is that we be crucified with Christ. And that consecration, that commitment has to be maintained. This morning I ask you, have you come to the place where you've died to self, been crucified with Him, so that it's not you anymore, it's Jesus Christ who's calling the shots and leading the way. If you haven't, there's no better time than today, right now. Jesus loves you. He is not your enemy. And he will lead you in kingdom business. We never know how that will all come out until we follow him. I just wonder, this morning, have you made that consecration? And is that consecration up to date? There's no better time than right now to say, "Dear Jesus, here I am. Take me. I'm going to die to myself, and you be the one who runs things now." As we close the service this morning, I just want to say this altar is open. And if you'd like to pray this morning, just kneeling before the Lord here, I just encourage you to step out from where you're standing and come and kneel here and say, "Dear Lord, here I am. This is me. I'm dying to myself that I might live with you, that you may live through me." It may be that you've made that consecration commitment in the past, but there may be something that needs to be brought up to date this morning. And you'd say, "This morning, Lord, that's what I'm doing. I want to stay consecrated to you. And so, Lord, here I am, died to self, that you may live through me." Anyone else this morning? If you're watching online, if you have the message there, feel free to contact me. Be glad to pray with you, answer questions. Most important thing is that we know Jesus and are living for him with a fully consecrated life, having died to self, crucified with Christ, that we might live with him and he in us going forward by faith. Jesus, we thank you for being with us today. We don't always understand how things work out. We know that the enemy of our soul tries to tell us that you'll hate us, you'll ruin our life, you'll make us miserable. But actually, we find the power to do amazing things in Christ, just like Peggy. To be able to minister to soldiers of the same army who killed her parents. Because Jesus had transformed her life. And she died to herself. Just like Lyle Prescott died to himself and allowed the change of career to follow you in missions to Cuba to provide what he could before the communists took over. Lord, I pray for each one as a part of this service this morning, including myself. May we be truly crucified with Christ, in order that you live through us as we walk with you who love us and gave yourself for us. I pray for your blessing on each one this morning. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.